This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Doug Oster is here, the organic gardener, and yes, he'll be at the AHN Sports Complex out at Cool Springs where I was, where Andy is, where Larry's going to be. And we were also talking about the one that we love, the mothership, the big home show that starts before you know it next weekend. And guess what? My man, Mark Moore, tomorrow night on my show in the 9 o'clock hour to preview it all. Home show season is here, so everything is right with the world. But before we get to Doug, if you're the 10th caller right now, you want a gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. I'll tell you, I was out there on Friday. I do love these home shows.
Oh, yeah. Last week, Montour, I had a great crowd there. We had a lot of fun. And this week, I've been doing the South Hills Home Show for, man, I don't know, a long time. And then Friday, the big one.
There we go, man.
Every day.
I love it.
I'll be there every day at 5 o'clock and Sundays at 1 o'clock speaking in the Farm to Table Expo. The Farm to Table Expo has become one of the big draws for the show. All these local farms and artisans.
What's an artisan?
Just like a local person that makes things.
Okay.
You know, like you're a local radio artisan.
Oh, well, thank you.
You make, I don't know. Anyway.
A little sketchy at times.
But today, it's going to be a lot of fun because I've got a ton of seeds to give away, more so than last week, actually. I went through all my stuff, and I'm just like, you know, I've got to pass these seeds on. I'll be speaking at 2 o'clock today at the South Hills Home Show. And where is that, Rob? What is that called?
Cool Springs.
Cool Springs. Yeah, that's
listen,
right.
Listen, AHN and Highmark, that is a beautiful facility.
I've got more seeds to give away. I'll just have leftover. So I've got some of the 3945 tomatoes. Those are the ones discovered on the World War II battlefield. I've got Tasmania chocolate. I've got bumblebee tomatoes, Cherokee purple tomato seeds, mortgage lifter. Rob, you'll like this story. Do you remember the story on mortgage lifter tomato?
No, but I'm sure you're going to remind me.
Yes, I am. Okay. So the full name of mortgage lifter is Radiator Charlie's Mortgage Lifter Tomato. In the 30s in West Virginia, a guy named M.C. Biles had a radiator shop at the bottom of a mountain. Before those trucks back then had to go up the mountain, they would water up and make sure that what radiators and everything were good at Radiator Charlie's. And without any plant breeding experience, he crossed four of his favorite tomatoes, big tomatoes, to create a tomato that he was able to sell for $1 a piece in the 1940s. That's a lot for a tomato plant back then, even today. And he raised $6,000 to pay off the mortgage on his house. So mortgage lifter tomato. And that's, I guess, one of the wonderful things about heirlooms. A lot of them have good stories. More tomatoes, pink Brandywine, black Brandywine, which black Brandywine, once I was out in Missouri at a place called Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, And I was speaking the night before. I was hanging out with some friends that work there, and they wouldn't tell me the name of this new tomato that they had found, a black brandy wine, until I plied them with a little bit of wine and beer, and they finally broke down and told me it was black brandy wine. And I've got many surprises as far as seeds are concerned. I've got some Aunt Molly's ground cherries, if you've ever grown ground cherries. So wild arugula seeds, native flower seeds, kale, much more. That's today, 2 o'clock, South Hills Home Show. Come on down and see me. We're going to have a lot of fun there. Now, you mentioned Sorghulls at the top of the show there, Rob, and they will be holding their annual free pruning demonstration next Sunday, March 9th at 1 p.m. Give them a call to get on the list. It's free, but they want to know if you're coming. So I stopped at Sorghulls and went back in the greenhouses. They are growing a ton of natives. And they look really good right now. I'm also interested to see what my friend Braden is got in mind for the peppers. I told you guys last year that one of the newer employees at Sorghulls is a pepper fanatic, and he is growing this the coolest stuff you've ever seen in your life. Last year, I bought a bunch of it. And if you're interested in unique tomato seeds. That's another thing I saw at Sorghulls, though. They've got all their seeds out. And they've got a little section with pepper seeds, varieties I've never seen before. So it's really unique, cool stuff. Other thing to think about doing right now, get out there and spray for deer. The deer, until things leaf out, the deer are in desperation mode. I use something called Bob-X. But there's many, many different products. Anything that you can buy that you to spray on the plants. In my case, it's mountain laurel, which is technically poisonous to the deer, but the young ones will eat the buds. Rhododendrons. I'm trying to think anything out there that I know that the deer will eat. I'm spraying until once the forest leaves out. Not that they won't eat it. It's just that the pressure is off. But they're desperate right now. And when I see the herd of, probably 15 running through my woods, they look kind of skinny. So, and how about this weather? Okay, it's cold now, but I'm looking down the line, 60s, 50s, it's coming. Rob, spring is coming. We are going to be able to get out there. We're going to be able to plant. T-minus 15 days and counting until we can put our peas in. On St. Patrick's Day, will you be at the home show the day of the parade? You will be there, and that's the worst day to be at the home show.
Well, I'll be going early in the morning, so it's good.
Doesn't matter.
Now that you bring this up, I'll probably have an issue, but I've never had a problem getting into that David O. Lawrence.
Oh, I've never had a trouble getting in either. It's just the drunks that come in after the parade is the problem.
It's the second largest St. Patrick's Day parade in the country. Let them eat, drink, and be merry.
Why don't you just take a break from the home show? Go home and sleep it off, folks.
I'll tell you, I love that day in Pittsburgh, though. I do. I always have since I started in the mid-80s. In fact, the very first time I was at KDK Radio, the first person I met on that Saturday, it happened to be when the elevator door opened. He was the Grand Marshal that day in a green blazer. Very first person, Bill Burns.
That's awesome.
He said, "How are you, kid?" I said, "I'm good, sir." Yeah, it was very. I was like,
"How are you, kid?" "I'm good, sir."
I was like meeting a rock star. All right, listen, we're going to go to a break, but Doug would love to talk to you about gardening today. Lots of stuff to get to, but home shows. I think people need to understand. There's a rhyme and reason for them this time of year, right, Doug?
Well, everything's there. You could. I think the most important thing for me, anyway, and for both of us who have old houses,
yes,
you always need work done. And I like to be able to meet the people that are going to be in charge of the work. And so you get to compare what they're offering and meet the people. And it's just all in the same place. Whatever you're looking for, whether it's a hot tub, windows, garden stuff, it's, you know, I... It's my Super Bowl. The big home show is my Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, you're on stage constantly. All right, short break. We'll come back. Speaking of the home show, Metropolitan Windows, the Schmutzers will be here today at 9 o'clock. They're a big part of it. They just took care of my home. Matter of fact, I hooked them up with Frank Dentisi. Doug's talking about needing new windows. So perfect timing to have them on the show today as we get ready for the big home show at the beautiful David L. Lawrence Convention Center. And Mark Moore will be with me tomorrow night after CBS Radio News at 9 to preview it all. It all starts this Friday at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh. We'll be back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
All right, this is where you get a chance to talk to Doug. So you need to call right now. It's going to be 60 degrees Wednesday. St. Patrick's Day is around the bend. The P's are going to go in the ground. So you got to mind your P's and Q's and get ready to call in so we can put you in the queue to get you on the air. Where did that come from?
I don't know. That was pretty good, though.
Thank you. 866-391-1020. Bob, let's talk deer. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Rob?
Good, sir.
I live in Verona, and I came home yesterday. There were five deer in my backyard, and I tried to shoo them away, and they just looked at me. And they're eating, like Doug was saying, they're eating anything that is attractive in my yard. So I was wondering, I know you said, you mentioned Bob-X to spray on the plants. It's there in the grass or everywhere.
Anything that they would eat, you spray that on. Now, it doesn't have to be Bob-X. That's the one that I use, and I've just had good luck with. Anytime that stuff, and it stinks for about a day, maybe two. That's the other thing I like about it. It doesn't stink forever. That's what keeps them off. And it sticks really well to the plant. And so I don't have to reapply until about after three rains. But, you know, you might not be able to find Bob-X locally. And liquid fence, there's a million different ones. Just get something on there, especially now. And like you said, they will be standing there and you're yelling. I would have loved to see a video of you trying to shoo those deer away. That would have been good, right? Were you waving your hands and yelling?
I pulled up in the car and I got out of the car and I was waving my hands and telling them to get out of the yard. And they just said, yeah, this guy's putting on a show for us.
Yeah, exactly. And so, go ahead.
One more thing. When I'm trying to raise my tomato plants from seeds, and I don't know if I'm not putting enough light. I don't have a grow light or anything, but they get so tall, then they just fall over. I don't know if it's like the heat of the ground. Or
no, that's the lighting issue. And so, like, you need to have that strong light source because we just don't have enough window light to make it happen. I've seen people occasionally have a big south-facing window, and in a certain season where we're getting a lot of sunshine, you might be able to get away with it. But even though those plants have sprouted and now are kind of what we call leggy, they can be saved. And so it's about finding a inexpensive LED light somewhere, whether it's the nursery or the hardware store or wherever it might be, And then you'll repot those plants, the ones that are getting kind of tall and falling over, and you'll replant them so the stem goes all the way down into the planting mix, and you're just seeing the top of the plant. Now that whole stem will become roots. You can't do this with every plant, but tomatoes love this. And then you'll have some bright light over them, and you'll have your nice stocky looking tomatoes. It's actually just a little early for tomatoes, but you'll be okay. And you want to keep that light source, whatever it is, as close to the plants as you possibly can. Did you plant anything special from seed? Do you know the varieties?
Mostly I plant the grape tomatoes.
Okay,
and cherry tomatoes.
Good, good. Those will be pretty easy to grow. If you just get that bright light on there, you'll be good to go. And then we get to a certain point where they can't really go out until May, but any day that we have in April or even March that's really nice and warm, take them outside. Let them sit outside for a little bit in the shade, and they get used to the wind. They get used to being outside, and then you bring them back inside. And we get them out usually in May. You don't want to get them out too early. They don't like cold temperatures. They don't like to be at night under 50 degrees. And so my main crop doesn't really go into the ground until earliest, probably around May 20th. But it's, okay. You know, it's wonderful to grow your own plants and just keep after it. Let's say that just for instance, maybe this series here of plants doesn't make it. You don't get the light on them quick enough. There's still time to replant. And don't worry about that part either. You know, that happens to me all the time. Sometimes I'll get things that don't sprout. And so I'll just restart again. There's plenty of time to do this. And then once you start growing those tomatoes from seed, who knows, the sky's the limit then. You'll be growing your whole garden from seed like that. Let me know if you get some light on there how those tomatoes respond, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for your call.
All right, anything else in the way of gardening? You want to talk about deer repellent? You got issues with other critters? We can handle it all. 866-391-1020. Every line is available. Got that gift certificate from Janoski's just around the bend. Plus, we're going to tell you about their big event for St. Patrick's Day coming up on the 15th and 16th in just a moment. But why do you think so many deer? Have we taken away their national habitat?
And part of it.
Do you think maybe we should actually expand to maybe more opportunities for hunters to thin the herd?
In my opinion, yes. But, you know, my wife's an animal lover. Her opinion is no. Don't kill them. But it's a serious problem. And I know it might seem like, oh, so what? They're eating your garden. It'll drive you nuts. You're trying to grow things, and in my case, things are fenced in, but they'll jump it or break in, or some idiot will leave the gate open.
Doug. So, I mean, so do they just basically constantly? I mean,
the thing that drives people nuts is, first off, every herd eats differently. So they follow this sort of alpha deer. They're all herded up. They're done with the rut and the breeding. They're kind of herded up, and they'll follow the alpha deer around to see, hey, what do we eat and what do we not eat? Well, then you lose the alpha deer, hit by a car, a hunter, whatever it might be. Now the young ones, they don't know what to eat, and so they see something like a mountain laurel, which is our state shrub, actually, state flower. And they'll see the buds and they'll say, oh, look at those soft buds. And they'll eat them, but it'll make them sick. And they'll lay down in the woods, sleep it off. But by that time, your buds are gone.
Destroyed.
So for the deer, there's no predators. You know, we talked offline a little bit about this, about the idea was to bring the coyotes in to eat the deer. They're not eating the deer. They're eating anything smaller they can catch. It's hard to bring down a big deer, and they're really fast.
They are. All right, listen, we want to get to your calls on the other side, so load them up, 866-391-1020. Rob Taylor next with the news, then we're right back at it on The Organic Gardener today on KDKA. All right, here we go. Let's remind you, if you're the 10th caller, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate to that incredible place. All roads lead to the farm, Route 30 in Clinton, Janoski's Farm, where they're going to be opening shortly today at 8 o'clock. Here is the number to dial if you're the 10th caller, 412-922-1020. If you want to talk to Doug, 866-391-1020. And Mary in Munhall joins us now on KDK. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I'm calling about what do I do with an amaryllis bulb. My granddaughter got it for me for Christmas, and it's even still blooming, and I don't know what to do with it now.
Okay, is it one of those ones that's in wax, or is it in like a pot?
No, this is a good one in a nice pot.
All right.
And I even want to know, I'm getting a sixth bloom on it.
Oh, nice.
And this is after 2 months. Why? How did it get so many blooms?
Well, what happened? Whoever bought you that bulb bought you a really nice bulb that had lots of energy in it, and that's the trick.
Yeah.
That's the trick to making it bloom again. So the first thing you're going to want to do, you wait until it's done blooming. Okay. As soon as there's no more flowers or no more buds. And how nice to enjoy a flower for that long. That's really wonderful.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's so beautiful.
And so when it's done blooming, you want to remove the flower stalk, but leave the foliage, the big leaves. Those big leaves are what are going to feed that bulb, okay?
Okay.
And so we remove the flower stalk, but leave the foliage, leave those big strapping leaves. And now we treat that plant like a house plant. We don't overwater it, but we don't neglect it. And we keep it going all the way through the summer as a house plant on the windowsill, the brightest window we can find. And we fertilize it once a month with a nice liquid fertilizer. You can get that at a good local nursery near you in Munhall there. And that's giving that bulb energy. That's what we want it to do. And now at a certain point, when we get to the end of the summer, we stop watering, we stop doing any fertilization, and you're going to be kind of afraid to do this, but you're going to let it go dormant. And what's going to happen is those green leaves are going to turn brown. And when they turn brown, that's the other thing. They're sending energy into that bulb. And that bulb is going to stay there dormant for 6 to 8 weeks. It'll tell you when it's ready to wake up, because it'll start to send another little bud up. And then when that happens, you're either going to get one of two things. If it has enough energy, it's going to send up a flower bud. If it doesn't, it's just going to send up foliage. And so that's why we're doing that fertilization now. It's very, very easy to do this, and don't sweat it. If you mess something up a little bit, amaryllis can take a lot of abuse and still rebloom for you. So does that all make sense to you, Mary?
Yeah. I've had these before, but like I forgot what to do with it. But should I repot it?
Or no, they like to stay in a small pot. Don't repot it for maybe 3 years, and then you'll be ready to repot again. Just enjoy the blooms that are left. And when that thing blooms again, you call me back and say how beautiful it is.
I have a lot of house plants, and I listen to you ever since you've been on.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 76 years old, and I love to garden. But I use fish emulsion.
Oh, there you go. That'll be perfect for that amaryllis. Thank you so much for your call, Mary. I appreciate it.
All right, there she goes. 76 and feeling great out in the garden. Here's Ken in Gibsonia next up on KDK. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, Doug, a question about ground moss and bittercress.
Okay.
And also ground ivy. Is there an easy way to get rid of, not easy way, but any kind of way to get rid of that stuff?
It's not easy. So let's start with ground ivy. That's probably the worst of the three. The ground ivy is what we call Creeping Charlie, has little purple flowers. And I was actually at an event last night for Bonnie Diver's Mardi Gras. What is it called? Mardi Gras for Hope. And I was talking to somebody there with the same problem. Now you're not going to like this answer. So you need to get out there like first thing, like right as soon as the weather breaks, a little too early now, with a springy rake, and rake as much of that ground ivy out as you can. If we can get it early in the spring and not let it get established, you'll be okay. Second is the bittercress. Oh, you can't let that stuff flower. Now, bittercress is probably already up out there now, if not now, as soon as...
Yeah, it already started.
Yeah. Now, the best way to deal with that is you can either cut it to the ground, take the string trimmer out and cut it to the ground. Every time you see it come up, do that. Can't let it flower, can't let it go to seed. That's one that I pull by hand, and I hate weeding, but that's one that I pull by hand. And now you're not going to like the moss answer either, because there's two ways to look at the moss. One is love your moss. How does that go over for you? Can you love your moss or not? Do you hate it?
I don't like it. So.
Okay. Now that one, there's an easier way to deal with it. One way is just to physically remove it. If you rake it out. The second thing is they make an organic spray. The company is called Safer, S-A-F-E-R. And if you just search Safer Moss and Algae Remover, and I can't, it uses, oh, that's what it is, fatty acids. And so it can't hurt you. It can't hurt the good bugs. You spray that on the moss and you'll be good to go. It'll just kind of fade away. Like I've got a garage and it's got some moss on the roof, and it's a roof that comes down to the ground. I can actually get up on there. And that's what I use. You spray that on there, and you got to wait until things warm up a little bit, and you're not going to get any rain, and you're going to get some hot sun on that moss, or at least a little bit of light on that moss, and then that will take care of the moss. And I know those answers really weren't what you wanted to hear. Those aren't going to be easy things to deal with, but if you can get to them early, that's the key, and get out there and get them taken care of. Now, the other thing to think about is in the lawn, when you're seeing, is this all in the lawn?
Yes, sir.
So if we're seeing moss and we're seeing ground ivy, that's telling us something about the soil. And so there's probably a pH and or some kind of fertility issue. One thing I would recommend, and especially early in the season here, is to get something called a soil test from Penn State Cooperative Extension. You go online, you search soil test. I think it's $11 or $12 now. And you take some soil, and they tell you how to do it. You put it in a little bag, and you send it to the lab. It's a really good idea to send it to the lab early in the season before people are doing this. And so they can tell you all this information about your pH and your fertility, and then you just use the scientific number that you have from that and a formula from that test to improve the soil fertility and pH. It's not overnight, but the trick about that lawn is to beat the moss and the ground ivy. When you get the pH right and you get the fertility right, the grass will outgrow anything. Grasses, the problem is you got 25,000 square feet or whatever it is of this really bad soil, and the grass is struggling. But that's what the Creeping Charlie loves. That's what the moss loves. Especially we see moss. That's definitely usually a pH issue. I'd recommend getting that soil test. It's inexpensive. And then just see what they say. And then take that formula and work on that lawn a little bit. And that'll solve the problem with the weeds. Okay?
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right. Short break. We'll come back. Just moments away, it's the Coons Cooking Hour right after local news at 8. But more calls for Doug are wanted at 866-391-1020. Back with more in a moment. Anything before we go to the phones? Anything?
I'm taking people to Italy, and it's already half sold out. If you want to go to Sicily and southern Italy, go to DougOster.com and look at the details. That's all.
And Mr. Dentisi, as in Joe, his family's roots from history in Sicily. We're talking meatless meals, his son Frank and I today, on the Coons Cooking Hour. And this is the guy that joins us on that cooking show from time to time, Rich in Crafton. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, I'm doing good, Rob. Hey, Doug, have you ever tried that candy corn that my dad suggested? That was always his favorite. He said it was smaller stalks, but it was a white and yellow corn that was really, really sweet. And I also want to know, what corn do you like?
I can't grow corn. I don't have the sun or the space for it. And so I haven't grown corn in years. You know, I did it before just because I wanted to do it. And there again, there's nothing, just like anything out of the garden, but corn especially. You can buy great corn out there. But the minute you pick that corn, those sugars start turning to starch, and that's why people grow their own corn.
I just thought maybe you could mention that to somebody else. It's not as tall as like a normal corn, but it was white and yellow, and it was really, really sweet, and that was always my dad's favorite.
That sounds awesome. They say that
maybe you might mention it to somebody to try and see what they say about it.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea, but they say that for gardeners, you have the water boiling when you pick your corn, because that's how quick you want to get it in there. And as I said, there's nothing like that. Are you growing that stuff? Are you growing something like corn?
I live in an apartment, so I don't even have a place to grow it, actually. But he always loved it, and he always liked the big beefsteak tomatoes, too.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And the early girl tomatoes.
I remember.
You were my dad's garden.
Yeah, I remember going visiting him at his house, so... All right, everybody, candy corn, you heard it here first from Rich.
Here's Keith. Hey, Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Hey, is this Rob Can Kill a Cactus Pratt and Life is a Garden Dig It Doug Oster?
I guess so.
You know, I shouldn't even bring this topic up, but you already did about the deer. Doesn't anybody, you know, I've been lucky because I live, and as soon as I pull out my driveway, all I worry about is deer. But they haven't been touching my tomatoes and stuff like that. Don't you guys ever worry about, don't they still have rock salt or something? You could pepper them. I'd at least go out there with a slingshot.
No, you're not allowed to do that.
How about a slingshot?
No, you're not allowed to do that.
Too bad.
Yeah, they just...
Hey, I'm the law out here.
You've got to just use repellents. You've got to use fencing. You've got to do your best. You know, it's not their fault. It's not their fault that their habitat's gone. I know it'll drive you nuts. It drives me nuts, especially when they break into the garden. But, you know, you're not allowed to shoot them or anything like that. It's illegal. So
I'll tell you what, though, if you like venison, I haven't had it in a long time. It's amazing that they haven't been able to find a way, kind of like cattle, and do that type of thing where you could actually sell this stuff. But I guess that's
I have a good friend. In fact, he was on the show earlier this year. He always, he's a deer hunter, and we would always say, okay, it's time for Bambi stew.
But now it's different if you own a farm, correct?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Are people farming deer? I think they are.
But no, I mean, like, if the farm...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you have different rules.
Yeah.
I remember one time I had... the deer came and ate my tulips at my first garden in Ohio. And I went into the newspaper. I worked at the time, Youngstown Vindicator, and talked to the outdoors writer. Like, isn't there some kind of law where you can shoot deer? And he's like, yeah, that's for farmers who are producing, you know, crops for people, not for some guy growing tulips. Because I was so upset. You know, I had like 300 tulips I had planted, and they were in this horseshoe bed, and I thought, oh, this is going to look great. This is going to look fantastic. And then I came, and they were just in the blush. They were just ready to bloom. And then I came out, and half of them were gone. And so I came out the next day. You know, and I was working nights at the newspaper, and I came out, and I smelled something and kind of saw something. And I did, you know, what we talked about today with other callers. I started waving my arms, like, get out of here, get out of here. And it was pitch black, and you could hear the deer run off, but there was a fence about 4 feet tall between my property and the next property. And the deer didn't jump it. He got spooked, and he started running back towards me. And I could hear this like a horse running. It was a huge deer, and I was hiding behind a oak tree, and then the deer was gone.
They're strong, man, I'm telling you. And you know, another thing, too, the habitats. You see turkey all the time. People see bears all the time. It's just different.
I never want to see a bear.
No, me neither.
Like, I never want to see one. They can outrun you, outswim you, outclimb you. And, you know, my luck, I'd be walking down the trail, and it'd be between two cubs and a mother, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, the two guys running, and the one guy from a bear stops to tie his shoe, and the guy says, what are you doing? He said, I'm not worried about outrunning that deer. I just have to outrun you. Good stuff. Yeah, I tell you, you think about that, man. Whew, that would not be a pleasant sight.
I like seeing turkeys at the bird feeder. It drives the dog crazy. The dog just looks out and sees that turkey, doesn't know what it is, and just goes nuts.
But listen, I see all this wildlife. I never saw turkey as a kid growing up. So the world is definitely changing. We got a minute, and it's all yours, Doug.
Well, I would love you to join me on one of my trips. I do have two seats just opened up for a trip I'm taking in May to London to see the Chelsea Flower Show in the Gardens of London, and one that's about 2 hours south of London called Sissinghurst. I love London. But my latest trip will be in October in Italy, Sicily. Never seen Sicily. My wife and daughter have. It's amazing. I've seen southern Italy. It's amazing. The food is amazing. The people are amazing. Just talking to somebody the other day that was, I was down at the Strip, down at Penn Mac and at the cheese counter, and we were all talking about how friendly the people are in Italy. I'm lucky to travel a lot, take people to different places. People are very, very friendly in Italy. So go to DougOster.com. If you got a question you didn't get through, didn't want to call, go there. I'll answer your questions. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, Frank is coming up next. Meatless Meals today. Countdown to Lent just days away on the Coons Cooking Hour.